Good evening, everybody. And I'm hosting the show tonight. Ryan can't be with us. Years ago, I'd have the number 12 on my back, but I could have any number now from north of about 943. Anyway, I've got some really good guests, three really good guys. And I've got to tell you, I've seen these guys in the flesh. Before you got the wrong idea, what I really mean, I've seen them all at the Emirates and other places as well. First of all, it was Gary from the States or the USA. How are you doing, Gary?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, Melvin.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
We've got Mr. Lee. We've been to a couple of games together, haven't we?
We have, Melvin. Hi, everyone. Hope everyone's well. Yeah, we have. I think one this season, one last.
Yeah, both won games. And also with James, sat next to James a couple of times as well. Good evening, James. Thanks for coming on.
No, thank you for inviting me on. Pleasure.
Right, I mean, I suppose the talking point could start somewhere like Dubai. Before we went to Dubai, we weren't really playing that well. I mean, for our standards, we were poor. But we seem to have come back and been like a whole new team. I've only been to Dubai once, and I've got to tell you something. The talcum powder is very expensive. That's what I can say. But anyway, Lee, what do you think it was that lit the blue paper, touch paper then? Was it that break? A break as good as a rest or something? Or what was it, you think? Because it has been a big change.
Yeah, you stolen my thunder, Melvin, because I was. How I like to do is I like to apply a little bit of thought every now and again. And as I was making my tea, readiness for the podcast, but why is it suddenly we look a different team, right? And so obviously the first thing that did spring to mind was the break, right? We all go on holiday, we all come back, some of us come back, and you kind of, well, I mean, I log on for work and go, oh, God, I don't really fancy this, but sometimes you have a break where you're actually refreshed and you're raring to go. So I suppose it's no different for footballers. You know, I mean, they're human beings at the end of the day. And so maybe they've come back with renewed vigour. It certainly looks that way. I know I'll say a couple of easy games. I mean, people could say that Burnley and West Ham were particularly poor. I mean, I suppose that... Yeah, you always ask yourself that question. Well, I do anyway. Were we that good or were they that poor? And you never quite work out in your mind whether it's one or the other. It's quite often a combination of both, right? You're playing teams at the right time. Who certainly against West Ham didn't defend a couple of goals. We kind of looked like we walked it in. But that's not to say we definitely look sharper and we're definitely moving the ball quicker. So... yeah, Melvin, I concur. I think a lot of it is down to the break because, we look like a different team. We do. I mean, goals change games, and we've scored early, and especially in the last two, so that makes a big difference. You're not trying to break teams down, but we certainly look a different team. So, yeah, I agree with you, the break.
Do you think, James, that also not only have we seemed to have more energy, we've changed the way we play a little bit? We're more direct and we're trying things that we never tried before.
Yeah, I think the big part of it is I don't know, obviously, what they discussed or what they debated when they went to Dubai. I mean, if you look at before the start of last season, they had the trip to Germany where they all went to Adidas headquarters and everything, and we trained there for a little while before the first pre-season games. And Martinelli was on Ian Wright's podcast at the time, and he said that meeting, they had like a pre-season meeting, and they were talking about the goals and aspirations for the season. And it was very much, you know, if we can do something great, but if we can get in the Champions League, that's the goal. And he said that Jesus and Zinchenko both went, well, hang on a sec, I didn't join here just to make top four. I joined here because I want to win the league with Arsenal. And I believe that we can win the, you know, with not just with us. We've seen, you know, you played us last year and you've been in the race and everything else like that. You just missed top four the season before and everything else. I think you can go better than top four. I think you can push for the league. And they all started to believe that. And I think, again, that whatever happened in Dubai, they must have sat down before they did all the training and everything else, which has benefited us physically. But I think on a mental side, it was very much of, and you know, we're all playing a guessing game here, but I think they might have all got together and gone, look, last year was 5 points. This year, they're not the team that they were. There's definitely a struggle there that's going to happen. And it will be us or Liverpool. And it's, do you want to win it or do you want to fall short again? And I think this year they're like, no, let's win. You know, if we're not going to win the league, let's try and win champion. You know, let's do something, because to end up with nothing again after two seasons of this output, not only will you maybe see a dent in the group, because I think there's only so long we can go without winning anything, Melvin, that this group's going to want to stay.
Yeah.
And so that's the big thing. And I think as well, there's a lot more. I think the difference is last season sometimes, and there's other points in Arteta's tenure as well, where we've been dominating games. And I've seen that we've sort of, let's hang off now, we've won it. And it becomes more of a training exercise. But now it's like, no, where goal difference and everything can come to play. I want five. I want six. If you can get set, you know, if we really pre into West Ham, we should have won that by maybe double digits. Because Saka had the header. Yeah. Trossard had a header. And I mean, at the weekend versus Burnley, that could have easily been more than what we scored as well. So I'm just happy that we're getting into these chances and we're actually smashing the teams. Because I've sat there with you, Melvin, at games together, and I've gone to you, why don't just go for the jugular now?
Yeah.
Because they're all over the place. Like, why are we just, oh, let's rack up the passes and everything else, you know, make our touch maps or whatever look good. Let's just let's smash these goals to bits. Yeah, let's score some goals and let's let's get in there. But yeah, no, something definitely I would fly them out again, because whatever happened out there has done them a world of good.
Most certainly. Gary, have you seen a change tactically as well? I mean, the first thing is the corners with Rice. There's other things as well that we might have spotted. Did you spot any other things?
Yeah, well, I guess yes. Yes, we've probably complained about our corners not making it even past the near post, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we finally found, Rice doing that. And it looks like, you know, Saka has also maybe upped his game as well, because he's getting those balls a little bit higher up into the middle of the danger area. So I think, for me, what I hope has happened, Arteta has used this Dubai trip and then realized, look, somehow I have to get that same result in the middle of a season where I don't have 10 days off, but I might have to do it with small numbers of players maybe coming in and out of the lineup. Stress rotation for years, and I believe it's what we were missing, and that's why we just saw the entire team just not one player stood out. Like, where we talked about this from the start of the season, for me anyways, that if we were more clinical, man, we wouldn't have any, you know, teams wouldn't be able to keep the games close, and any of our mistakes wouldn't be big. And so I think hopefully that's what Arteta's also learned, is that, yes, it's good to get away for the Dubai trip, but we're going to have to do stuff like this within a season where you don't have time off, and you're going to have to maybe pull players off out of the lineup so they can kind of get back into form. For me, it's more hunger. We've seen it with Martinelli. Martinelli sits, he comes back hungry, right? I think Reece Nelson is shown he's hungry when he comes on, if he gets the chance. I said it multiple times. I think Arteta is concerned that if he sits Saka, he'll lose him. I don't think so. I think if he sits Saka, that hopefully will just piss him off. He'll come out the next time he plays, and you're going, okay, look, and it's not, sometimes it's maybe just to poke the bear a little bit, but it's also, look, I can't ask you to do this over and over again. It's asking too much. Nobody does it. In the league, the way the football is played right now, nobody can go out there and play 50 games at that level, right? They usually come in and out.
Not for 100 minutes now, Gary. Yeah. It used to be 90 minutes. No. Now it's 100 minutes.
True. So I kind of feel like he's learning, right? We're still saying he's learning. I go back to he's only in his fourth year of managing. No manager in their fourth year is asked to do what he's being asked to do. Nobody. You know, he's being asked to compete with two of the top managers in the league. Some of the top players
in the world, actually,
on those teams
in the world,
and yeah, so he's been asked to do a lot, and it's patience, but it's also I think he needs a lot more help. You know, he's got it now. I think now we've gradually gotten a better squad, but it's taken time to get there. So I kind of feel like, you know, we have to be patient. I don't want to be patient because I'm a fan. I want it now, right? You know, why not just buy somebody who's got the experience now, as opposed to, you know, have them grow with the team? But, you know, they decided to go this route. So I kind of said, okay. But now I kind of feel like hopefully this Dubai trip has kind of, you know, a light bulb's gone on in Arteta's head, and he realizes, look, yes, these guys need some time away from the field, be it for a game, for a half, whatever it is, and you'll get more out of them. You know, so, and you got to trust the other guys. Got to trust the other guys you got.
I think you're right, Gary, but also I was thinking of a few things. I've noticed our throw-ons now are much quicker. We've got a couple of goals in recent weeks where we picked up the ball, just thrown it down the line, the guys rolling and we score. We didn't do that. We haven't a look. Yeah. Making sure, see what the make of the ball is before they take it. Now it's much, much quicker.
Sharper,
and our goalkeeper that we bought, Raya, yes, his distribution has been okay, but he's taking it to a new level now. His distribution has been far. Right, but since we've come back, there's been an improvement on 99% of the players, I reckon. 90 to 90, been fantastic. But for you first, Lee, what player do you think? And I think they've all gone up a notch. Some have gone up two notches. Player, what are you players you feel has got up most? What you thought of a player before he went away to what he's got back? You're watching him going, you know what? This player, yes.
Yeah, obviously been touched upon already, but Sack is the obvious. It's a bit too obvious, but yeah, he looked like he was struggling. He looked like he had lead in his boots, and he was just maybe, as he was saying, 60 odd games. Sorry, not 60, but well, maybe with England, he was getting to those kind of numbers. But it was too many games. He's a young lad, so for me, he's the obvious one. Odegaard definitely looked sharper.
That's my one. Yeah,
yeah. I was going to say that first. And I thought I'd say Saka. He's such a big player for us, right? And when he's not on form, I mean, I love that goal he got. He got a similar one last season where he kind of he goes inside and puts it onto his right foot and then drives it into the roof of the net. He did it last year. I think it was against Chelsea at home or Everton. So he just looks dangerous again and confident. So that's massive for us. But yeah, so I mentioned him. But I think Odegaard is the one. He just looks it looks like he's buzzing again, right? And he was brilliant. Last two games, he was fantastic. He was decent against Liverpool. So he's going to be important for us. And, you know, he's not – I think he's 25 now, Odegaard. He really needs to hit the levels, right? I mean, I was listening to the radio earlier and I was talking about De Bruyne and they were saying, is he on the same level as De Bruyne? No, he's not on the same level as De Bruyne. Different type of player, but he's so talented, right? The first goal Saturday was fantastic. Like they did give him, it was a great strike. They did give him a lot of room. To be fair, you could see he kind of opened up, and the defending weren't great, but it was still took a good strike. So, yeah, those two for me. Odegaard, I'd say, Melvin. So,
You're allowed to. In fact, I'm allowed James to as well. By the way, with Odegaard, sometimes great players make their own space. It's great players sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said I could have two, Melvin, because I was going to ask you, can I be greedy and take two as well? So I'm glad. I appreciate it.
I've gone for the match, James. It's easier to apologise after.
No. It's easier. Yeah, easier to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. I totally get it. For me, Melvin, I'm going to go completely different, and I'm going to say Ben White is one of them. Before the break, for me, Ben White is someone that we've been told by various other players again when they've done the podcasts that if he's got a leg falling off, he's still going out there to play because he don't care. He plays through whatever because he's committed to the. He's like, whatever you want me to do, boss, I'll do it. And he looked like he was carrying some kind of, I don't know, hamstring or something the last few. I mean, the Liverpool game in the cup, I thought that he did okay, but you could tell that he was hurt and he was just mingling through it. But since we've come back, he looks an amazing, completely different man. He's overlapping again, which is helping, which is causing you know, the overload there on that right side and helping us create. And I think defensively and everything else as well, he's been very, very solid. And the other one, Melvin, since he's come in that Liverpool game, I've got to big up Kvyat. He'll go under the radar. Burnley again, I thought he was brilliant against West Ham, but Saturday as well, I thought he was fantastic. And I'm really glad, because I did think there was a player in there, but I was like, are you ever going to get the chance to show it? And he finally has come on, even in a position that he probably doesn't want to play. He doesn't see himself as a left back, but he's gone, no, do you know what? I'll slot in there. I'll do the job. And, you know, we've got a big game coming up in the week. And even if Tomiyasu or Zinchenko's fit, I'm not dropping him, Melvin. No, I'm still, he's still my left, for me. For me, he's still my left back in the week.
Yeah,
I think he's earned it on merit. I think he deserves. And if he messes up, he messes up. But at the moment, for me, I think he deserves to be in there.
Yeah,
totally agree. That was been one of my choices anyway. I mean, I wouldn't say that he was. What I was going to put a slightly different headline because I'm allowed to do it was I'm going to say the player that my mind's been changed about. I didn't think he was a bad player. I just didn't think we shouldn't be playing a player at left back who's not a left back. But he's completely changed my mind. If he plays every game, I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah.
He brings something to the team.
But I think what's helping. Yeah, and what's helping as well, Melvin, is that when he's played at left back before, it's been pretty much the same as what we've asked Zinchenko to do. So it's like basically go in the middle and dictate. And I think to him, I think he was a central defensive midfielder previously before, and he's played that role for Poland. But I think he's like, no, I want to be the defender. Whereas with Ben White, now we're overlapping on the right-hand side and doing what it's like you do the Zinchenko bit from the right instead of on the left. And I think that's confused opponents as well. But that's made Kivior more comfortable because Kivior, I think he's one of the few defenders that we've got that actually, like Tomiyasu as well, he's like, I love defending. Like I like having a duel with somebody. If someone wants to have a ding dong, I'll have a ding dong. You know, that's my I'm from the. You guys are better than me, but I'm from the 90s. I like I like my Tony Adamses. I like my Keones. Yeah. You know,
Gary, I'm afraid you've only got one. No, I'm only joking.
You know, it's funny. I was going to say, you know what? I'm going to play the American card, and I'm going to go for three. You know, you guys are going for two. No, I'm just going to go big. I guess I can reduce it down to two because initially my three, just to give you what I was thinking initially, was Saka, Trossard, and kind of Martinelli for me needed this time. I think need this time to gel a little bit. Martinelli, I think, for me, has been there. Saka, well below what I would have liked for him based on the way he's been progressing from year to year. I expected him to be like what we're seeing now, right? What we're seeing in the last five games. And for me, Trossard is a player I think Arteta has undervalued in the squad. From that March of last year when he won Player of the Month and then we never saw him again, he hasn't like valued him. Like he, you know, I don't know what he had to do after that March period, you know, but he didn't get enough games. Once again, now he's doing it again, right? Anytime he plays, he scores, right? I think it's 25 games, 23 goals or something ridiculous like that. I don't know what he's supposed to do. You know, we talk about when goal scoring, this guy does that for us. So for me, Trossard getting more games than that, once again, because Jesus is injured, right? When Jesus comes back, I think some of us are going to be concerned that Trossard won't get the minutes that he needs to contribute.
And that's exactly what happened last season. Like you said, when we had that game against Fulham, Trossard had done so well. Obviously, got the three assists, didn't he? Like in a half and what have you. And then obviously and then Jesus come back and should have scored, but he missed. But then from after that, Jesus was permanently in. And I was like, why have you? That to me, I was going to Arteta like, why have you changed your winning team? Like even though he is back and he's your big man, I'm like, you can't. Why have you took it? This guy's producing for you. He's getting you assists. Yeah. He's scoring your goal. And that's what I hope he doesn't do. Like I said in midweek, you've got all these other people now that have been performing for you when you've needed it. And just because these other guys are maybe higher earners or what, I don't think they deserve to go straight back in.
No.
If I would have said to you three 6 months ago, look, we won't pick Zinchenko at left back. We won't pick Jesus. And I'd prefer it because we'll play better football and get better results. You'd think I was mad, wouldn't you?
Well, this is it. We were discussing this the other day. I think we look better without the City lads in it.
Yeah. It's a weird thing to think. Do you agree, Lee?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I remember we were talking, I think it was nearly a year ago, Melvin. I said, I'm more than happy to have, I'm not too worried about not having a natural striker. I like the disruptors, right? So up front, Martinelli, Saka, and Trossard, right? So if I'm a defender, I'd be concerned about that level of ability. on the wings and down the middle, right? So I mean, you could arguably rotate Jesus and Trossard, right? But that's a decent front three for me. Eddie gets nowhere near it, unfortunately for Eddie, because
that's why I said 90 to 99% have improved. I didn't go the 100%. All right.
No.
You read my mind on that one.
Yeah, we're not shocked. Bless Eddie. I mean, good club man, but he's definitely he was getting games last year, and I'm thinking again. If I'm a defender, I don't want to have to worry about Trossard in the middle, right? He's not what you call a number nine, but he's got ability, right? And he can go either side. He gets shots off, and you've got Saka and Martinelli to worry about as well. That's a headache, and then maybe to give him a rest. I mean, it's a 50-50 thing, to be honest, Jesus and Trossard. But I agree with James, right? The man in form gets the shirt. If you're in form and suddenly you're on the bench, you're thinking, well, hang on a minute, it's a bit of a punch in the stomach because you perform. That's rule number one. You stay in the team. And Jesus then has to get his hunger levels up. He knows when he gets a chance, he's got to perform rather than thinking, well, I'll sort my knee out and I'm back in the team. That can't be good.
No, Gary, is there anyone else? There was a third one. Did you want to say a third?
My third was Martinelli, but I felt like Martinelli was doing what he was doing before. So I don't think it was. I mean, our front three looks really. He's been a threat basically every, you know, a lot of times he just didn't have any help. You know, I think that. So now things are looking, you know, we're getting a lot more from Trossard. Trossard kind of, I think, is doing the things that Jesus doesn't do as much in terms of getting in the box and maybe being more of a, you know, a help to Martinelli and opening things up for him, because now he's a threat a little bit more as opposed to Jesus, who's always coming back and, you know, leaving the middle open a little bit too long, you know, where Martinelli's like looking inside, he doesn't see anybody. I think Trossard's always there. So I think it kind of opens up the game a little bit for us, I think, when you've got Trossard there. So I know, like I said, I think Saka and Trossard for me have been the keys offensively, but I did like the, you know, the defensive discussions that we've had. But what's crazy is no matter who we put on a back line, they've always performed. The one person for me that hasn't performed like I would like him to is Zinchenko.
Zinchenko
is there. I'm expecting us to have lots more opportunities to score. It doesn't seem like that. Like I always go, if Zinchenko is playing, I need to see, like, I don't know, better control in the middle so that we can get better attempts at goal, because that seems to be our problem, right? It's not like we don't get the shots. We need to get better. And my
best,
that's what he's supposed to do for us, is help us in our attack, get better chances.
More direct.
Zinchenko, his best 20 yards from goal and not 10 yards from goal. That last bit, he misses that last pass. But with Martinelli, there's been a change. When Martinelli gets the ball now, he runs at people. He finds himself a lot of space. Going back a little bit, he used to get the ball, he'd look up, and there's three people he's got to beat. Now, it's not, he's getting the ball quicker, and that makes him able to run at defenders, and it makes him dangerous. And also, with Saka on the other side, which perhaps I'm wrong, but I think he used to wait for the ball to come to him and then stick his bum out and turn the guy. He doesn't do that. He's playing more on the turn now. Again, he looks so, when he's facing or on the turn with a player, he can beat anybody. They can't get the ball off of him. When he's got his, when they hit him from the back, he goes off balance or he tries to get a free kick. It is a free kick.
Or he gets fouled.
And it stops the play. This way, when the ball comes to him, he's got a choice. And I'll tell you what's different about this team now, which they had last season. They didn't do it at the beginning of this season. When they get the ball, they've got someone to give it to because we've got movement. And that's so good. And when you talk about the forward line, there's fluidity there. Trossard is not a centre forward, we know. But he can go left or right when they say go wide and Martinelli comes inside. There's movement. Yeah. There's gaps. So, but for my plus players that have made a difference, I think Kiwa is the one. For me, he's been a bonus. But also, what we haven't spoken about is not my favourite by a million miles before he went away. Havertz.
Yeah.
Not
my favourite either.
You've just talked about the attacking fluidity, Melvin. That guy, he drops in that nine role, and because of just the fact that he's six foot four.
He tracks the ball.
Yeah, and but two people go towards him. What happens when you drag two in? You leave gaps.
Yes.
And who's the men at attack? Who's the two best at attacking space? Saka and Martinelli.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's
give,
funny.
Give them space at your peril. Because they'll love it.
No, I say it's funny you say that because I'm watching, I had the game playing, and the goal that's just scored is the Trossard goal. And the the mishandling of the ball by Havertz is what creates that goal. And you're like, he's not clinical enough in that area, but he's causing problems because he's there.
Havertz pops to Trossard
and he puts it away. Yeah. And you're like, earlier in the game, same thing. He you know, so the fact that he's there is good. But you know, I've said next year is when I expect to see whatever we paid for this year. Anything we get is a bonus.
That's a great point. I mean, for me, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone. And me and Melvin, I think we had the same opinion of Havertz. We were both last year. We couldn't see why it didn't make any sense. Probably the most left field signing Arsenal ever made in my time. I followed Arsenal. Couldn't work it out. But James is right. He does. He attracts players to him because he's so big, and he has been. And again, maybe it's the Dubai thing, and maybe he's settling in. It's taking time, but he's come back. He's been a lot more physical. He was physical against Liverpool. He was trying to rough up the Liverpool. What's his name? The French centre back name escapes me.
Canate and Van Dijk.
He's a big lump. Yeah. He's a big lump, isn't he?
A big lump, and even if, I mean, that's when I used to play football, it doesn't matter that you're not 6'2". Sometimes you just got to use your, just lean into him, just rough him, give him an uncomfortable time. But as James says, he is 6'4". So you've got to use that height and make the central defender uncomfortable. And he's done that. His touches have been good. And all I've been hearing from supporters since the start of the season is, oh, he's great. He makes good runs. He runs into space. I'm thinking, I want more than that. And forget the price tag. You know, when anyone played football, you don't come off and the manager says, you know what, you were brilliant today, you run into space and you attracted. You got to affect the game. Forget the fee. You have to affect the game, whether it's goals, whether it's, you know, being creative. And for me, I was watching games. I'm like, is he playing? Mm-hmm. I can't. And then I was reading it on Twitter. Yeah, he done well. Some nice touches. He made some good runs. I'm thinking, maybe I'm just not seeing it. But finally, he's come to the party. Good point was made. It is his first season. Even Perez took a best part of a season to find his feet. You know? So, got to be patient with Led. But he's definitely, the last four or five games, now I'm thinking, well, maybe Arteta is earning his money. Maybe he's seeing something that mere mortals like ourselves are not seeing. Maybe he's got a player.
He praised him to high heaven today. I don't know if you saw the quotes.
No, I didn't see that. No,
he said he's like, out of all the players that I get to work with on a daily basis, he said,
I love him, don't they, James?
Yeah, he said, yeah, I love working with him because he said all different scenarios. He went, I do defending drills with him in the box, heading it out from set piece. You know, he's good at defending set pieces for that reason. He's good at attacking. He's good. And I was like, there must be a reason why. Like you said,
because 65 million for him,
normally Edu and him have God knows how many meetings about certain players. You know, we went for two players last January and completely pivoted towards two older players that have helped us out. I mean, that was another one, Melvin. We could have added to the list. Could have added Jorginho to that list as well.
Yeah,
he showed me a completely different side to him.
Go back to Havertz. He has got up front, but we haven't got, he's got what I call presence.
Yes.
We haven't had a forward with presence. No, he's lacking in other areas because one's perfect.
Yeah. But
and Melvin,
he's got a presence.
You know, Michael, Jack and Neil and everybody, we talk about it in our group that we've got. And I think it was Jack and Neil both said it. And I think Michael did as well. They went, James, Havertz as an eight is a problem to Arsenal, but Havertz as a nine for Arsenal is a problem for everybody else. And I'm like, he is. And there were touches against Burnley where, he looked like he had his Timberlands instead of his football boots on because they're just so heavy. And you're just like, oh, what are you doing? But that goal, I'm sorry, I've got to give it. I thought there was part of me that was like, that's slightly Bergkamp-esque from him. The control and the way and the run and everything. I thought it was an absolutely brilliant. I mean, we scored some great goals in that game at the weekend. But yeah. I thought his was right up there as well. I thought it was a really, really well taken. Like you said, Melvin, as well, from the thrower, nice and quick from Kvyat, see it go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
to finish yeah. it off, yeah, just really, really good goal. And I hope he kicks on. I really do, because I've been yeah. unfair. You know, I've harshly criticised him, but I can only, I can only say what I've seen. And yeah, but he's improved. He's completely, he's turning the corner.
He just needs to add that, for me, one thing. I think someone touched on upon it. Just that killer instinct. When he gets one chance in the box, he kind of just seems to think, doesn't he? I think he had a chance against Liverpool in the FA Cup game on his left foot, and you're thinking, you've got no confidence, right? When he has, like on Saturday, he just took the ball and just run through. But just it's that chance where it just falls to his feet, and that game, that comes with confidence. If he's in the team more, maybe it will just, because Chelsea persevered with him for 2 years, didn't they, up front? And Chelsea, a lot of Chelsea fans have said he couldn't hit a cow's backside with a banjo, right? So we just need a bit of that. If he can add that, along with the other presence and the other his ability of bringing people into the game, we have got a player. And then, yeah, fair play, Mikel Arteta.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was gonna say.
I'll tell you what's nice, like, Gary, carry on.
I was gonna say, I kind of feel like Arteta doesn't let people crawl before they run. Because I don't know what you saw at the beginning in the preseason, but from what I saw from Havertz, I'm like, he doesn't need to start for us day one. He's not ready. He's not. But whatever you want out of an Arsenal player at that point, he wasn't Timber, he wasn't Rice, and those are two players that did not play for us in the previous season. But you saw they understood whatever Arteta wanted. Havertz needed some time.
Yeah.
So you know, and so he. That's the thing that I guess Arteta, for me, needs to just learn, because he could have brought other players in. Meanwhile, bringing in
Havertz
again, because if Havertz is your man, fine, but he doesn't have to be day one.
You know what's the funny thing, Gary? Yeah. After a couple of games, I thought to myself, he can't do it. He'll never do it. He needs to go on loan.
Chelsea. Yeah.
Just go on loan. Yeah. He's not ready, mate. You're not the finished article.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what is nice about this conversation we've had about our players, our certain ones, who do we think's improved? We've all picked mainly different. We picked mainly eight different players, eight different, which is great, which is good for the team, because it proves that practically they've all done well. We haven't mentioned Rice. I mean, Rice has gone started at a level that it's very difficult to go better because he did slow down a little bit for a couple of games, I thought, in all fairness, but he's back to that level again. And we, as I say, we've picked all different players. And we can't say, apart from one that we mentioned, that any of them are the same. They've actually been, you know, revitalised. I mean, I watched the game, the West Ham game I watched, and I had the sound down, and I was getting a bit confused. I'm watching it. After about 20 minutes, they were playing, what was it, Claret and Blue Burnley. And I thought I was watching a rerun of the West Ham game. I got a bit confused. I had to put a commentary up again before I realised I'm watching it. Because it seemed like it was like the same type of game, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was absolutely. I mean, again, we start, you know, we got the confidence on the ball to start with. We seem to kill any, I don't know if it's, obviously it's meant to be done, but they do it so well. For me, they seem to kill the other team's notion of ever scoring a goal in the first few minutes. Yeah. No, it's our ball. If you come past this bit of this, that line, once it goes past there, you're not touching it. It's our ball.
Yeah.
Well, and I think to a degree, I don't know if you agree, Lee, that I think teams are getting frightened to attack us. Because if they leave space behind them, they could be in a mess. Do you think so?
Yeah, totally, Melvin. And the other thing that I'm sitting there Saturday watching it, I'm just waiting to score. I'm thinking, right, are we going to score at this move, or are we going to score in 2 minutes, or will we score in 3 minutes? Right. Whereas go back 2 or 3 years, and you're thinking, sugar, the other team score, right? Then we got to worry, because then we're struggling. That kind of negativity has gone from my head, because I'm just thinking, score. We're gonna get on the front foot. And I watch obviously all of our games, right? So if I'm thinking that, then the opposing teams are going to be thinking, God, this team are dangerous. Yeah. They're going to be on the back foot. They're not going to be so confident. So they're going to sit back a bit, rather than you go back 4 years. Teams are attacking us at home, attacking us away. So it's good to have that fear factor, and it's the first. I think it's the first time the last 6 weeks we've hit the levels of last season. Before that, apart from the PSV game at home, we haven't got close to our levels. We haven't got close. So it's massively, it really gives you confidence going into these. And I felt, Melvin, that prior to Saturday, right, we kind of We really do need to win the five games before we play City. The league games, I kind of think we have just got so we're playing against arguably one of the greatest teams, right? I think they're pretty boring to watch myself.
I agree with that.
But they've got so much talent, and they'll just take teams apart. So for us to keep to that level, we've really got to, for me, get maximum points before we go away at Spurs, away at Old Trafford, and away at City. It's almost, and that's a lot of pressure. But at the moment, it's like they're playing with a clear head. They're not even thinking about it. They're just blasting teams off the football field.
It's like an actor on a stage. At some period, they're looking at the crowd. Oh my God, I'm so nervous. They're all out there.
Yeah.
Once they get the confidence, it's like they could be in front of 2,000, 3,000 people. Yeah. It doesn't matter. They're not seeing the crowd. They're seeing what they're supposed to be doing. And that's the way we're playing at the moment.
Exactly. My confidence is everything in life, in all walks of life, in fact. So you suddenly stop thinking. You just do it naturally.
You just do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Gary, with the team, the way it's going, I just think that it's so encouraging. And I think that it seems to have all gelled together in one go. And it's so good. I mean, do you think that really, I don't think that if players are not injured, I'll keep it every day. But I think the way we're playing and the way he's using the players, I don't think we're using them up and strangling them like we did the last couple of seasons. Come the end of the season, the last two seasons, they were dead. Some of the players couldn't pick their feet up. There's slight injuries which become bigger injuries, and they were playing on it, and we were like relying on certain big figures to stay on the park for 90 minutes. Then I think that's all changed now, don't you? Are the players he's bringing on now?
Yes, and we, like you said, we do need that because we won't be able to play the first 11 over and over and over again. We know we've got answers now, right? We know Kyrgios feels a little bit more comfortable now playing a left back, so. Trossard, we know it can play anywhere on the front line. Easy, right? Havertz, just put him on the front line, please. Just in the, once, and I think it does work sometimes when he plays in the midfield, but I think that's when we are, like, not in the big games, of course, for me anyways, and I think that's where Jorginho comes in. Big games, Jorginho plays, that pushes Havertz either up or to the bench. So we've got a lot more answers, I think, than we've had in the past. And when we bring Jorginho, and we know we've got a solid midfield there with Rice and Erdogan. So I think, then that for me is key. You know, the big games, Jorginho, I don't think Jorginho needs to play too many back-to-back games for me. Yeah. Just play him. He's fine. He's fine coming off the bench, and he knows his role, and he seems comfortable with it. If he can get us to help us to win a trophy, I think he'd be happy to do that with the minutes he's playing right now. I think what we kind of forced players in the past, and you saw his form drop, I think, the first year he was with us, right, when he played too many games in a row. So I kind of feel like, yes, you just got to rotate, and especially in certain situations, because we do have the answers. And as these guys get back healthy, I think we'll be okay, especially if it's Partey and Timber. If we get like 50% of them, I think we'll be, that will help. You know, if we get 50% of them where we can get like 5 to 10 games out of them to close out this season, that'd be really nice. And as you say, like Jesus, just rotate him in and out of the lineup, And also, he can't sit, Saka, Jesus can sit Saka. I have no doubt about it.
And that's a better option, Gary, because for me, I looked at the weekend, and I don't want to be harsh and dish out a negative, but for me, Nelson and Nketiah, what they are now for Arsenal is what they're always going to be. They've not got a ceiling that they're going to go above. I think what them two players now are exactly what they're going to be for the rest of their careers. Whilst they're still at Arsenal, that's all they're going to be. And I would, if you said to me, James, you can have Saka come off at about 65, 70, and you've got Jesus playing on the right-hand side instead of him, would you take it? God, yeah. Especially because he's actually a very good crosser of the ball. So if you stick Havertz at 6'4" and Jesus crossing the ball, you never know. He might put his head onto one of them. He might, you know, you've got Vieira coming back as well. He can also play on the right hand side if you want to. He did that in preseason. He looked very well out there, especially in the games over your way, Gary, when he come on for Saka and played on the right. Vieira looked good out there. So that's another option potentially if you want to rest Saka. And I mean, for me, Saka's just, as much as I was talking earlier about how Havertz can be so bad, but yet somehow he'll produce. Saka, for me, it was a terrible penalty at the weekend. He still scored it. And then his second goal was. But there's games where Saka, for about 80 minutes of it, has been absolutely terrible. But then he just gets an assist or he does something and you go, that's why he's there. He just manages to pull himself back out of the out of nothing. And that's the thing is that sadly, we might have to keep playing that person like that because he's just that special. Yep. You know, it's a very much reminiscent of Michael Owen back in the day for Liverpool, in that they just played him so young, and you worry about what he's going to be like when he's older, because Michael Owen used to get clumps beaten out of him. I mean, Saka does as well. I mean, we saw it against Crystal Palace all them seasons ago, that MacArthur volleyed Saka in the air. It wasn't even a tackle, he just volleyed him. Like he was.
I don't think it was even a foul, was it? I think the ref gave a foul.
Yeah.
No, I think he did.
And I mean, you do worry about it, but at the same point, the guy is that good and that special, especially for our team. I would love to say let's give him less minutes, but I don't know if we can afford it as a team.
You know what? He doesn't.
He bails us out so much.
Yeah, he doesn't even have to play, right wing. You can move him anywhere. You know, if you really wanted to, I think sometimes just a different perspective on where how the game is being played will help him as well, because that's it. You know, it gets monotonous sitting on the right doing the same thing. Yeah. You know what he's going to do every time. Well, what happens if you move him to midfield? You move him all the way to the back line, whatever it is, just to get him still engaged, but maybe looking at the game from a different view, because he can still score as a fullback, because he can do that, right? We're fine. Mm-hmm. You know, if he came in as a come off a, on that back line, he can still score because we know that. But I kind of feel like he needs to get in and out of the lineup, or maybe just move around on the pitch. Like we see Bernardo Silva play anywhere, right? And I think that's where Saka, for me, I always thought he could do that as well. Because a City game where Bernardo Silva played against him, I'm like, Saka would, I think he would love to be able to close down an attacker coming at him. And then later in the game, finish it off kind of thing. I think he could do that. But I think he just needs mentally and physically maybe to just move around and sit out or whatever it is.
I think the problem it was a bit harsh knocking the manager, but for me, Arteta sometimes too rigid, right? You could swap. You could have Saka going to the left, Martinelli going to the right, because we have been, prior to the start, the end of December, we looked so predictable. We just looked like a movie being rerun. Right? I know it's fancy. We're all basking in how great we've been, but you remember, turn the clock back 6 weeks. It was literally like watching the same film over and over again. And you're thinking, for God's sake, put Saka onto his natural foot, right, on the left, Martinelli onto his right, maybe for 10 minutes, maybe start the game in their normal position, then swap them over. But we just look so predictable. So it's not necessary to change that much, Melvin. I don't know what you think, but it's...
You stole my thunder now, because I was going to say about this. I can't remember what game it was, a game where we were doing nothing. It wasn't working. Yeah. And I thought, why don't you just switch the wingers? Number one. Number two, when Saka had the habit of putting his bum out facing the wrong way, I thought, well, he's not enjoying this. He looks like he's not even enjoying playing football this way.
Yeah.
I would have made him into a number 10 for a couple of games.
Yeah.
Just give him that role where he's facing the defenders. Because on a one-on-one, when you're facing them, you've got much more chance with your back to them. Because he looked a bit bored with it, but he's got that background.
Yeah. And I think that comes, I think James mentioned it as earlier, the manager, right? Arteta's only 4 years in, right? As a manager, right? For me, he may not have the confidence to try something off the cuff, something like that. Say, look, I'm going back a long time, Terry Venables, right? Would go, right, I'm going to, he wouldn't be afraid of going, well, for 20 minutes, I'm going to do this X, Y, Z. I'm going to completely change it up, right? And that keeps everybody fresh. Right, gets the opposition guessing, but I think maybe Arteta is so sometimes too rigid, and he doesn't want to do that. it seems to me, you know, it's like sometimes life's about personalities, and maybe he's how can I describe it? I look at my desk now. I've got a messy desk. Arteta will have a nice clean desk, everything in the right place, right? Organized, right? And it's the way the brain, someone like Terry Venables is getting players to flick up balls in the air on free kicks. Remember the goal when somebody flicked it up and somebody shot it?
Hunt scored it from Coventry.
Yeah, and that's right. Yeah, and just try something different off the cuff. But I don't think it's in Arteta's makeup. I just think for me, he just looks organized and plan A. At the moment, plan A started to work again. But my worry is, if we need plan B against Man City away, are we going to get it? Are we going to keep doing like we did against West Ham?
Well, my worry was ages ago with that situation. We're not changing it up a bit. I thought that he doesn't change it up because he can't tell players that play in one position to during a game to play another position. Because they're so in their mind, he like over-coaches them.
Yeah,
that's what I was. I'm probably wrong, but I thought perhaps he's over.
No, I don't think you are.
Melvin, what did you always used to say to me? You said it's plan A, and then it's plan A with different players.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But when you think about what he can do now, he brings players on. I know that the last couple of games you can't really count it because it's with 4-5 nil up.
Yeah.
But number one, a big bonus is getting a few minutes, Smith Rowe.
Minutes.
I thought he wasn't going to get any minutes because I thought enough subs on that he wasn't going to get any time. And then he brought him on and he got about 15 minutes. I mean, I just love Smith Rowe. I think he's wonderful player. And there's other players that he brings on. You think not too bad. Cedric is still bringing on, which I can't get my head around. He'd probably get his testimonial next year, wouldn't he?
I know.
So I'm really can't understand that at all. Arsenal player to get a testimonial and play about 20 games. But there
I think
go.
Melvin, yeah. they took the hat up to Burnley and everyone's name, all the subs' name was in the hat, and then they picked it and they went, and they were like, Cedric's done it. I think he tampered with it. He just put his name in it all the time.
I reckon they're related, James. I reckon if I search Arteta, he's somehow linked to Cedric, somewhere like a third cousin.
He's putting something in the food for us.
I think it's also because it's the first ever player, even though he was a low knee, it was the first one that he actually brought in, wasn't it? So I don't know if he's got that emotional attachment because he was first ever player. But we all know, like I said, I mean, I said to you before, didn't I? Nketiah and Nelson have a ceiling. I think Cedric's ceiling's gone many years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the game coming up. It's a different type of game. Porto away. They're, I think, third in the league. I don't know how strong that league is. There's a couple of players that can't play. They've got a couple of injuries as well. But they've got one player. I read a little bit because I can do that sometimes. They've got one player, a winger, that they reckon is quite good. And it worries me. I broke out in a sweat when I saw the name. You know what his name is? Pepe. No, Pepe.
Pepe. Oh, God. Yeah.
It's not the Pepe, the one and only.
Another Pepe.
It's not the one and only. I thought,
They've got the other Pepe as well. They've got the mad one that used to play for Real Madrid. He'll be, mate, someone's getting crunched by him tomorrow or Wednesday.
Yeah, before kickoff, probably.
Yeah. He's getting on a bit. It's 57.
Yeah, I don't. You know me, Melvin. I don't like to advocate gambling, but get him on a booking on your Bet365.
That's easy
quids. That's an easy quid there if you want to.
Good tip. That's
Gary, what time will you have to watch that in the States?
I'll be working. That's like 3 p.m., so I'll still be working. So I'll be working, but I have my phone, so it'll be underneath the little platform where they where there's like a platform and I can put it underneath there. So if anybody's walking by, they won't see it, but I can, I have my AirPod in and everything like that. So I'll be able to listen to it and hopefully watch some of it. And then, I used to not work in the office on those days. Well, on Thursdays, I didn't. So I was like, oh, nice. Then we decided to go to Champions League. And you know what? That's just screwed it all up.
Yeah, got to work from home that day.
Well, that's a small sacrifice to pay for being Arsenal support,
apologies, Gett. I'd rather be in the Champions League than you not having to watch it, I'm afraid. Sorry, mate.
Yeah. No, I'm happy about that. But no, I will definitely, at the least, I'll listen to it. I might not be able to watch it because, I have stuff to do. But But no, I'm looking. Yeah, that should be. Yeah, 3 o'clock. It'll be fine. My thing is, if you know, we need to jump on him early for me. That's kind of what I feel like we need to do there, and we've been able to some degree do that in these games, so we can do that again, and then that just quiets down their crowd, right? And if they, when we let the crowds get into it, we usually can't. I don't think we have an answer for it sometimes. The way we're playing, we should, because any free kick, we know we probably can put it in, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, so we continue with the same form we have. I don't know why there'd be much of a difference in results than what we've seen so far, because, you know, you're playing Liverpool the way we have. I don't think Porto's at that level, right? So we're just going to have to continue and to play the way we have. So
they haven't lost at home since November. So it's going to be a tough. It's going to be a tough game.
But didn't we play a team that also hadn't lost and we drew them, right? So worst case, right? I forgot in the group stages, right?
Seville.
I think they hadn't.
PSV either. Weren't they? They were undefeated for like such a long time at home. I think it was like nearly 46 or something games.
Yeah. So I think if we could get a draw, we'll be happy to take that back home, right?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. I said the same. A draw. I'd take 1-1 now. I mean, it would be nice to put up a real good performance, to be, you know, a kind of 2-0, thinking that in the return leg you can take it easy, rest a few players, although that might be dangerous in Europe. But yeah, I was hoping, I was thinking a draw would do us, when we'll take a draw now, 1-0, rather than get an early goal and suddenly the old heart's going, isn't it? You thinking we won't be making that.
The trouble is with those games, Lee, I've been to the European games, and you've probably have as well, and so James, and you've watched them, Gary, where we do what we think is the job in the first leg away from home, and because mentally or psychologically we don't go at it for the second leg, we think we're safe, we're fine, and all of a sudden, when the other team might nick a goal, we're in second gear, we can't get into third.
Can't get in,
So we've got to go into that second leg in the right frame of mind, whatever the first leg is. We've got to basically, even if we're 1-0 up, hopefully we are. If we're 1-0 up, we've got to go, forget about that. We're planning tonight. Yeah.
What we ever won in Portugal in Europe?
We played, when Melvin was saying about letting it slip home, I've went straight to Benfica in 91 at Highbury.
Oh, yeah.
They smashed us, didn't they?
Oh, 3-1. The Russian geezers come on, didn't they? They had a couple of Russians come on.
Fantastic
player.
I think I could be wrong. We drew 1-1 at the Stadium of Light and Kevin Campbell scored. And the second leg.
Didn't we go 1-0 up?
I think we did, yeah. And then they finished.
We've done the job.
Yeah, and then we were on the rack, I think, and then we got back to Highbury. And then they just, as you say, they scored. And every time they just kept catching us on the break, we're all over the place. And that does happen in Europe. You know, you've got decent teams at this level. So you can't take anything for granted. But it's interesting. The old away goal jeopardy is out now. And that's really changed it, because you normally used to go away and think, oh, if we can just nick a goal, just one goal, and the other team are done. And that has changed it now. So you're never really out of it like you used to be. If you concede an away goal.
That Benfica game, Lee, I think that's when, just before that, we signed Ian Wright, and he couldn't play, obviously.
September 91.
Yeah, I think it's when we signed Ian Wright about that, and he couldn't
I've just looked it up, Melvin, because I was only a month old at the time, I'm afraid.
Oh,
so
my God.
I don't have the history there. Kolkov scored. Is that who you're thinking of, Kolkov?
Yeah, a Russian geezer, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't realise... Yeah, Sven was their manager. Sven Goran Eriksson.
I didn't know that. I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
And Rio Costa played. I'm like, he's a big name. He was a good player. Yeah. He was AC Milan, wasn't he? He was a
Rui Costa, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember also the Russian who tore us apart in extra time. I think we got beat after extra time. But the Russian, we thought, what a player. Cock, wish we'd sign him. You know, he did actually come to win. You know who he played for? I got it right, and he was useless. Millwall signed him. I think he might have put on about 4. He did a Brolin, I reckon. He put on about 4 stone.
Yeah,
and it wasn't obviously never the same player. Right, so we'd all take one, or we'd all, of course we would. But what do you think will happen, Gary? What do you
think? I mean, like I said, I think we, the way we're playing right now, we should be. I mean, I say first to three wins, and I think if we get three goals in this one, I, you know, I think that'd go a long way to finishing off the two games, the two legs. So I'd like to just do that right now. You know, I want to get the three on the road, and then go back to Emirates and see how they do there. Everything about the team, our defense has been consistent throughout. You know, nobody's blown us away. I don't expect that to happen with Porto either. So, you know, I think we've got the upper hand there for me, anyways. Saliba and Gabriel.
We're not even mention those two. They're brilliant players.
Think about it. They just do what they do every day, and you just go.
Same as Rice.
And then Rice is right in front of them. So like nothing's going through, right? Not through the middle there. So I expect the same thing again. Jorginho will be sitting there next to Rice, and then nothing's going through. The thing I did like in the last game, Rice was trying to get to the open space behind those high pressers, right? Which before I think he was hiding. Now at least I see him kind of trying to move into spaces now to help out. So if he's, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, Arteta. Do not change a thing. If you're rotating, it's for rest and mental, whatever, fatigue, whatever it is. But no, there's nothing to change. You know, we've got it. Everything's going well right now. So continue to do what you're doing. We should be all right. So, yeah, I think we'll be able to get three goals. I'm saying 3-1 because, you know, they are good at home. So they'll get that one goal, maybe 2-1, and then we finish it off late and get the third one. So that's kind of what I'm thinking.
All right, lovely. That's quite precise, Gary. I like that. James, what are you thinking?
So, yeah, the only thing I would change is I would bring Jorginho in for this. And then again, it's that big debate on who's going to go up front. And I think as much as I would rather Trossard, I think it's going to be Havertz for, like we said earlier, just be a nuisance, drag somebody out. And I'm going to go for us to win 2-0. Mm-hmm. I fancy us at the moment. There's been no evidence of anything shaky lately. I'm going to back us 2-0.
Good. And what about you, Lee?
I'm going for exactly the same team selection. I think he'll bring in Jorginho mainly for his massive experience. Yes. You know, he's arguably our most experienced player, right? And again, like you said before, to be solid with him and Rice in midfield, right? Because we can't be, you know, we've got to be solid. That's an away fixture. They're always tough and tricky. So I think we're going to be safety first. So for me, Jorginho in. I think you're right. Havertz up front with Trossard coming in the second half. I'm going for one all, a safe, no risk approach from Arteta. So I'll take that now, to be honest, knowing that we'll be going to the Emirates even.
Yeah, I'm going for a 1-0 to us. I think we do what they call, like the old days, a professional job. That's what I like to see. Go there, do the job, back on the jet, see you later.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'd love to see. I think we could do it. I think we're good enough to do it. We don't have to take any risks, too many risks, and we can get them back at the Emirates and finish it off, as they say.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's been... The last few weeks have been amazing. It's like we've got new batteries or something. We've got Duracells instead of those cheap ones you get in Tesco's. Other brands are available before anyone has to go. But I just think it's been a pleasure to watch. As much as it's good, what we've had missing the last couple of games, and I'm not complaining, is the adrenaline the last 5 minutes. As we don't look at your watch and go, my God, come on, blow up, ref. You go, ref, just play a little bit longer. Just take your time. You know, they're enjoying themselves out there. Don't stop the crowd enjoying themselves.
It was nice seeing an opposition team boo the extra time, weren't it? when they put the 10 minutes up at the weekend, that was the loudest I think they were all game, was when they were booing the extra time.
Yeah, it was, James. The most stressed I was, Saturday, I watched the last 5 minutes of City Chelsea. I was in the garage.
Oh, I watched that as well.
I can't watch it. I just walked out. I was like going, you know how desperate it is for them to drop points and how much and how it's just relentless they are. I'm like, please, 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 my missus is
going to score. They're going to score.
I'm like, no, I'm watching Man City, Chelsea, but a minute with 4 minutes to go, I thought they're going to score. I can't watch this. And I just switched it off, went out in the garden, went into the garage, and I'm like, I'll be over now. I'll be over. Have we got that?
You know what I did, Lee?
Fantastic.
I watched all the second half, and I've got to tell you, Chelsea had plenty of chances, good chances, to win that to go two up. So that, yeah. I don't think Man City's defence is as good as people make it.
Not the centre half,
No, not at all. Anyway, but what I was doing, I had my phone on me, and what I was watching it on was a bit behind the time. So it's 4 minutes to go. I'm looking, I'm going, oh look, it's two minutes different. I'm going, oh look, it's still 1-1.
I
know they're not going to score that next attack.
Yeah,
I'm guaranteed, boys. I know. Have a bet on this. I'll guarantee.
Until
the last minute, basically.
Yeah.
And when it went to black, because that's the end of the result goes into black on the phone, didn't it? The reaction on the result. Yes, 1-1. Amazing.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Anyway, gentlemen, it's been an hour. It's been a very, very enjoyable hour. Honestly, I really enjoyed it with three of you. Thanks very much for coming on. I've really enjoyed myself as well. So until next time, we'll have Ryan back next time. That'd be good. He'd be doing next Monday. He'll have a show. I don't know what shows he's got on this week, but definitely have one next Monday. And looking forward to that as well. So thanks again, you three. Really enjoying it. You look better, thanks. You know.
Enjoyed
it. Seeing you all in the flesh, but we won't hold that against you. So, gentlemen, thanks again very much, and I'll be seeing you all soon.
Thank you,
guys. Pleasure. Cheers, James. Cheers, Melvin. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.